right. Let's take our Bibles and turn tonight to the Gospel of Luke. Y'all glad to be in church tonight? You can be in a lot of worse places. Yeah. I've learned sign language. Brother Michael's back there giving me sign language. It's all right. Last night I talked about running in circles and that inner circle. And one of the things I hope that you gathered from that, and I'm ashamed sometimes of my own preaching and spirit and attitude sometimes, but you know, independent Baptist preachers are real good at showing us how far from God we are. And John showed us how close we can get. And that's what I want to remember. Amen. We can get there. And so I feel compelled to say this tonight. I don't know how many years I've been coming here, 5 or 6 years, I think. And until this year, to my knowledge, I had never heard your pastor preach. And then I got to go to Cookeville and preach in May. Was that in May? And he and I got to preach together. And I'm going to tell you something. You got a preacher. I don't know if y'all know how blessed y'all are. And I didn't tell him that night. Man, I left there on the clouds because of that last sermon he preached at Pilgrim Baptist Church. Man, it did me a world of good. And y'all are blessed to have the pastor that you've got. I hope you know that. I really do. And it's not just his preaching. Listen, I'm going to get in trouble. I hate YouTube. I hate live stream. I hate all of it because I say things that I don't want said everywhere. But I know a lot of good preachers. I don't want to spend 5 minutes with them. He's not one of them. I mean that with all my heart. Amen, amen. Well, we'll leave it at that before I get in worse trouble. Let's go to Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. Are you able to stand? Let's stand. Honor the reading of the Word of God tonight. Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2. Now, I preach a lot of missions conferences, and sometimes I go thinking, Lord, that's a missions conference, and you want me to preach that? And I think it's because, in all honesty, there's a lot of things underlying that keeps us from doing a better job with missions. And we can get up and preach on the mission field and winning souls, and we can talk about money and all those things, and I normally do that. That doesn't seem to be the case last night or tonight, but I really hope this will help you. My heart's to help the church. When I go somewhere, if I leave and I don't feel like I've helped anybody, I wished I'd just stayed home. My heart is to help you, I promise you. And so look at Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 80. Luke chapter 1, verse 80. And tell me who it's talking about. Yeah, you want to say Jesus, but it's not. And that's John the Baptist. And it says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Go to chapter 2, look at verse 40. Tell me who it's talking about. Now you're afraid to say anything. Now we found the one about Jesus, okay? Verse 40 says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? You ever wonder why the Lord, the Holy Spirit, decided to tell us in chapter 1 that John the Baptist was strong in spirit and Jesus was strong in spirit? It says here, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what we've already enjoyed. I so appreciate Brother Fair and his spirit. And he stirs me just being around him, God. I pray that you'd continue to bless him and use him. Appreciate Brother Guzman, his heart to get to his own people and to make a difference. And God, just thank you for letting us have a part in missions and getting the gospel to the world. Help us realize it's not just a responsibility. It's a wonderful privilege that we have some part in it. What a thing. And thank you for it. Would you please now, Lord, take this unworthy vessel, this frail creature of dust, this base, despised thing of naught. God, take this nothing and allow the Holy Ghost to do something through me. And for your glory, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I want to talk to you tonight about being strong in spirit. Strong in spirit. Now, I'm not talking about being stubborn. I'm not talking about being rebellious. I'm not talking about, you know, some of us, we just get mean-spirited. I think that's a tragedy for God's people to be mean-spirited. Sometimes as preachers, I think we want to be so right that we get mean about it. And, you know, I want to be firm, but I want to have the right kind of spirit. I'm not talking about that kind of spirit that turns everybody off, is overbearing and obnoxious, and talks down to their kids and talks to their wife like a doormat. That's not strong in spirit. That's not what we're talking about. The Bible says that Paul was purposed in his spirit in the book of Acts chapter 19. The Bible says you and I are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We're to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. You know, in Malachi chapter 2, where he's addressing the family, he says twice, take heed to your spirit. So tonight, that's what I want us to do, and I want to talk to you about being strong in spirit. If you're going to make a commitment to give a certain amount of money to missions every week, you need to be strong in spirit, because somebody's going to try to talk you out of it. If you're going to try to be diligent and have family devotions every night, you're going to have to be strong in spirit. How many times have you said, I'm going to do that, and 2 weeks later you've already dropped the ball? Why? You've got to be strong in spirit. If you're going to, you know, you say, I'm going to lose weight. Well, let's move past that point. Huh? You got to be strong in spirit. Now, I want to tell you this. David prayed over there in Psalm 51. You know the story after he did wrong with Bathsheba. He prayed that prayer in Psalm 51. I alluded to it last night. And he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Your heart and your spirit are connected. They're very closely related. And I want you to understand something. It can be changed. David said, renew a right spirit within me. There's a message I preach in a lot of churches I go to, and I don't think I've ever preached in a missions conference. I'm not for sure. But I talk about how the devil is after your spirit, because you can be right and have the wrong spirit. In other words, you can have the right position and the wrong disposition, and nobody's interested in your position. You understand what I just said? And what happens a lot of times, the way the devil does that, is first of all, you'll go to a church somewhere, or you'll be in a church service, or you'll be in this church, and you'll get hurt. Somebody will offend you. Somebody will say something untrue about you. Even the preacher might say something and look right at you. And you get hurt. Somebody offends you. And then, if you're not real careful, it turns to hatred. When I first started pastoring, I went up there to preach as a 19-year-old boy, and I started knocking on doors, and I'd say, I'm from Westland Baptist Church, just here to talk to you about the Lord. And I did that, and I don't know how many times somebody'd say, I'll never step foot in that church again. What happened? They got hurt. It turned to hatred. And then they got hard. Life will make you hard if you're not strong in spirit. I'm telling you, I've been praying for y'all since I heard about what happened over the last few days. And boy, that's just an opportunity, if you're not careful, to get hard, to get bitter, to get angry, to get mad at God or mad at people or mad at the world, or somebody didn't react the way you think they should have, and they didn't show up when they should have, and they didn't call when they should have. Listen, I pastor a good church. I think I pastor the best church in the country. Brother Crotch pastors the second best church in the country. I'm happy for him. I really am. But I'm going to tell you something. There are Sundays when it seems like everybody walks out the door and just wants to fight. I can have a visitor. I can have somebody visit my church, and they'll act like I'm the greatest preacher that ever was. But the people that I preach to every Sunday, man, they just look like, what'd you say that for? Y'all know how that is, don't you? And if you're not careful, you'll get hurt, and then you'll get hard. You don't want to get that way. I'll even go as far as say this. Every preacher preaches a lot on bitterness, and I do too. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you're bitter, it's nobody's fault but your own. When you get bitter because you've been mistreated, you've been wrong. I mean, Jesus Christ, did anybody have a right to get bitter? But He didn't. Bitterness is a mistake on the inside that you make. You can't let people do that to you. What they do, the person that hurts you the most, causes you say they cause you to be bitter, then they're more right with God sometimes than you are. Do you know some people enjoy hurting you more than you can enjoy life? And when you can't enjoy the joy of the Lord we talked about last night, when they rob you of your joy, that's not their fault, that's your fault. That's painful to say, but it's the truth. And so the only way you're going to avoid that, at least one of the best ways you're going to be able to avoid that, is to be strong in spirit. The Bible talks about a sorrowful spirit, an overwhelmed spirit, a haughty spirit, a wounded spirit, a heavy spirit, a spirit of bondage, a spirit of slumber, a bitter spirit, a troubled spirit. In 1 Corinthians 2, you've got the spirit of God, the spirit of man, and the spirit of the world. Boy, this world has a spirit. You can sort of feel it, can't you? It's getting dark. It's getting darker in America. Boy, there's a spirit in this country. And then I think maybe one of the most unbelievable things going on in our churches is a passive spirit. A spirit of lethargy, if you will. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power. Don't you think about that? He hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Why are so many churches going contemporary? Why are so many churches abandoning the King James Bible? Why are so many churches going to the pop music or the contemporary music? Why are so many churches drifting? Because they're not strong in spirit. And there's a spirit in this age that is luring them away. And why are so many missionaries leaving the mission field? Why are so many pastors getting caught up in sin? Why is so much of that going on like never before? Because there's a spirit that is pulling us away from God. And if you're not strong in spirit, you're going to mess up. You're going to have to be strong in spirit. When that Bible says that God has given us the spirit of power, what do you think of when you think of power? Normally, we think of strong. Now, physically strong means a person is physically strong. He's got muscles. Strength. He's got some physical power. And if he's strong physically, then he can overcome somebody that's weak. Some of you men could whip me. I know that. And I want you to know, you'd know you're in a fight. Because you might be stronger than me, but I'm strong in spirit. I got spirit. I still probably enjoy a scuffle every now and then. Amen. My boy said one time, he said, Daddy, I believe I could whip you now. I said, you got to sleep sometime, boy. Listen, when somebody is physically strong, that means that they're able to resist someone that's weaker. Well, if you're strong in spirit, you'll be able to resist another spirit. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if you're strong in spirit, you'll be able to overcome that other spirit. You'll be able to stand alone and you won't have to be propped up and have all these crutches in the Christian life. Because of the Holy Spirit inside of you, you can march straight forward for God and do what he wants you to do. But you're going to have to be strong in spirit. I go to churches, a lot of people have a wounded spirit. They have a weak spirit. They have a worldly spirit. And some people, when you talk about this, they say, well, that's just the way I am. No, that's your personality. I'm not talking about personality. I'm talking about your spirit. And I'm talking about being strong in spirit. Would you take your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy for just a moment? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, I'm going to aim an awful lot of my comments tonight, and I don't apologize for this. But I'm going to aim a lot of my comments at the men tonight. I'm convinced that if we're ever going to be the churches that God wants us to be, it's going to boil down to whether or not the men are the men they need to be. God basically started a patriarchal nation and a patriarchal home and a patriarchal church, which means male leadership. I didn't say male dictatorship. I didn't say a bunch of tyrants. I didn't say a bunch of insensitive husbands. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about men with a strong spirit. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. And I love the next two words. The man. The man, Christ Jesus. What a man. Is there a standard of what a man ought to be higher than that standard right there? You want to know what kind of man God wants you to be? Just look at the man, Christ Jesus. John 19, Pilate said, behold the man. In John chapter 7, 46, they said, never man spake like this man. In Matthew 8, they said, what manner of man is this. In Isaiah 53, the Bible says he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You know what amazes me about the man Christ Jesus? Surely you would, how many of you men, I'm going to see if I can get you men to say amen tonight. How many of you men know that the standard of what a man ought to be is Jesus Christ? Okay. Well, how's that standard? The Bible says he was a man that was acquainted with grief, man of sorrows, oppressed and afflicted. Listen, yet openeth not his mouth. He was a real man. When I was growing up, they laughed about women talking on the phone. Now, when I was growing up, you kids appreciate this. We had one phone in our house, and it was attached to the wall. You couldn't take it with you. And when I was growing up, we had party lines, which means you had a phone at your house, your neighbor had a phone at their house, and when they talked on the phone and you picked up the phone, the neighbors was on it. We shared a phone with about 7 or 8 neighbors. Right? And my mama had one that had about 100-foot cord on it so she could cook while she was talking. Amen. One time my mama answered the phone. She talked for I don't know how long. And I said, who was that? And she said, wrong number. I'm not kidding you. But when I was growing up, men sort of laughed about women always on the phone. Can I just move on? See, if I get to preaching tonight on what I think the Bible calls effeminate men, it's not about the fact that they are soft physically. And I'm seeing it in our country. And now some of you are looking mad. I'm going to say it this way. Men, we talk too much. Amen. I mean, listen, stop and think about this. You ask somebody, what about David? What's the great thing that David did? And almost everybody's going to say, kill Goliath. I'm going to tell you the great thing that David did. He didn't kill Saul. I've been in circles with independent Baptist preachers and missionaries, and if they decide to have a character assassination, before long the whole group's on top of them. Sometimes the smartest thing you can do is keep your mouth shut. You know what that takes? Strong in spirit. Because you want everybody to know you know something about it. Huh? We don't want to appear weak. I think one of the greatest attributes of my Savior is He didn't care to appear weak. That's what meekness is. It's strength under control. Sometimes Jesus wouldn't even answer their questions. I bet they thought, boy, he's dumb. He couldn't answer that question. No, he just knew to keep his mouth shut. If we would just master that, we'd be better men. Amen. Especially preachers. Missionaries, I don't normally preach to missionaries in a missions conference. When you get to the field, let me tell you something. They get to running down other missionaries and other preachers and other pastors. Just keep your mouth shut. You got a job to do, and it's not character assassination. Amen. Be strong in spirit. Jesus was a sinless man. He was a selfless man. He was a straightforward man. He was a soldier, but he was a servant. He was mighty, but he was meek. He was truthful, but he was tender. He was full of power, but he was full of pity. He is the man, Christ Jesus. He's the standard of what we ought to be. Take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. The Bible says, behold, my servant. I'm going to let you get there. I'm rushing it through this. I've got to slow down here. Who's Isaiah 42? Look at it and tell me who it's about. It's a prophecy about Jesus Christ. I was asked to preach at a meeting with a bunch of street preachers one time, and I was asked to preach, and this was going to be my text. It says in 42:1, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Isn't that a great text for street preachers? It goes on to say, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. Wow! There's my verse. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. That's what I need more of. I wrote in my Bible years ago that discouragement is the highest form of selfishness. Talk about strong in spirit. Did anybody ever have a good reason to be discouraged? But he didn't. No. Not my Savior. He was a man. Jesus Christ called and discipled men. In the Old Testament, He called men to lead the nation. In the New Testament, He called men to lead the church. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2.
My heart's to help you. I don't even know if I'll get to the end of this message. I've got to where I used to tell people I'm going to preach till I get through. I don't do that anymore. Now I preach till you get through. Amen. When you get through, I'm done because I'm not going to talk to the walls. But I wished I had time to get to the end of this message. I don't think I will. And I'll talk at the end of this message about the things that destroy your spirit. Like video games. Don't let your kids play video games. Well, I appreciate all three of those amens. What it's doing to the spirit of boys is scary. It'll turn them into zombies. I love you enough to tell you that, knowing that I'm not going to get any popularity points here tonight. I'm just telling you, it's not good for them. Sports has made spectators out of men. I love it when a man, he'll come up in on Sunday. Boy, we whipped them yesterday, didn't we? Oh, we did? Where was you at? You didn't do anything. And they didn't even hear you from your living room screaming and shouting and yelling. They didn't hear a word you said. Sports make spectators out of people. That's why they go to church now. They want to be entertained. I'm not here to entertain people. That iPhone you carry around is turning you into a zombie. You can't even talk to people anymore. You got to text them. They're in the same room. When I was growing up, people were friendly. And boy, you'd see them on the street and they'd talk and everybody would wave. And boy, it was just a friendly environment in America with unsaved people, lost people, everybody. It was just friendly. It's not that way anymore. People won't even hardly look up at you. Y'all understand what I'm telling you? I've got some messages on all the things that pull your spirit down in the talk radio. I could go on and on and on. The Bible says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, thou therefore, my son. Somebody tell me the next two words. Be strong. Is he telling him to go to the weight room? Is he telling him to go work out? No. He's talking about being strong in spirit, strong in resolve. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also thou. Therefore, hey, Timothy, you're going to have to be strong. You're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him with, chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Now, why is that so important? Why does he need to tell Timothy, you're going to have to be strong, you're going to have to endure, you're going to have to be steadfast, you're going to have to march on? Why? Because he's going to tell them in chapter 3 that men are going to be lovers of their own selves. He's going to tell them that men are going to be without natural affection. He's going to tell them that men are going to be lovers of pleasures. He's telling Timothy, I need you to be strong because there's going to be a shortage of real men. Y'all hear me? Timothy, I need you to be strong, man. Because we're going to have a real shortage of real men. One of the signs of the last days is that men will be incontinent. You know what that means? Out of control. No control. The Bible says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city without walls. Have you got control? You don't check how strong you are in spirit? Can you control your temper? Or are you so weak that you fly off the handle all the time? How about it, Dad? How about it, husband? It's a good question, isn't it? Can you control your temper? Can you control your tongue? Or are you always saying things that you later regret? Can you control your taste buds? They offer you that second piece, and you say, well, I shouldn't. If you shouldn't, don't. Everybody okay? Can you control your temper, your tongue, your taste buds? Can you control your time? Yeah, honey, I'll be there in about 15 minutes. I'm going to just check this one last thing on here. I'm going to look for that truck that I don't need. I'm on Facebook Marketplace, but honey, you going to bed. I'll be there in about 10 minutes and then an hour and a half later. Now, we're laughing, but this is serious stuff. We are weak in spirit. We know what we're supposed to do, but don't have the spirit to do it.
So we let everything and everybody sort of just, we're like the wind tossed to and fro. I read somewhere in Ephesians 4 that that's the way people would be. Just anything pulls us aside from our responsibilities. And so Timothy said, Paul said to Timothy, I need you to be strong and I need you. Listen, the reason I need you to be strong, Timothy, is there's going to be a shortage of men and I need you to train some men. In Isaiah chapter 3, God's going to punish the nation of Israel. You know how He does it? He takes away the mighty man, the man of war, the honorable man, and the prudent man. He says, if I want to punish a nation, all I've got to do is take away the real men. Welcome to America 2025. Why do we have so much female leadership in our White House now that we never had 50 years ago? I could go on with this. Listen, thank God for godly women. Thank God for women that have stronger spirits sometimes than the man does. It's not a knock on women. Let me show you this. Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah chapter 51. Y'all don't mind turning in your Bible, do you? That's what we're here for, I think. Jeremiah chapter 51. Verse 30. The Bible says, the mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed. They became as women. That is not talking about physical matters. That's talking about their spirit. That's their fear. They have forborne to fight. They've lost their fighting spirit. How many times have you said to your wife and talked to your kids, we're going to quit watching so many movies on this video show or these videos and now these DVDs, and we might watch one on Friday night, and we're not going to watch anything except for maybe Genie or Better, some of them old movies, but we're not going to keep watching them 3 and 4 nights a week, and we're just going to do it on Friday, and we're just going to do these kind of movies, and then about a month later, you've already dropped the standard. Does that happen at your house? Going to have family devotions, and then about a month later, forgot all about it. We're going to, but it never happens, does it? Or we start and never finish. Because to finish, you've got to be strong in spirit. What we need in America is a masculinity movement, and I'm talking about men on the inside. I'm not talking about men on the outside. I'm talking about real men. Like my father-in-law, who was probably about 5'9", about 150 pounds, got up every day and went to work for 42 years, never did miss work, never did take but about one vacation a year, and just went home every day, fooled around with about 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 cows, and mowed his yard and planted a garden, and then got up. Now nobody goes to work every day for 3 months, much less 42 years. Back in the day, they just got up every day. If they were sick, they went to work. If they were tired, they went to work. If there was some hardship in the family, they went to work. Now you got guys 25 years old and they've had 14 jobs. Yeah. Right. Amen. Been to 3 colleges. Right. Or graduate and then get a job at Walmart. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. I think one of the funniest stories in the Bible, the story of Haman. You know, he's going to hang Mordecai. He ends up getting hung, doesn't he? Yeah. But you know what he does when things don't go his way? Goes home and whines to his wife. Yeah. Like Ahab. Wanted Naboth's vineyard. Naboth said, not for sale. Well, yeah, but I'll do this. Not for sale. But I'll do this. Not for sale. What's Naboth do? Naboth do, or Ahab do? Goes home and tells Jezebel. Naboth won't sell me a vineyard. The Bible says he goes in there, lays down on the bed and cries with his face to the wall. And Jezebel said, I'll take care of it. You know what we do, men? Somebody rubs us the wrong way, offends us, doesn't appreciate us, and we go home and tell our wife how tough life is. Our boss said something critical at work and fussed at me, or somebody at work said, and we go home and whine to our wife, and we want them to rescue us and make us feel important. I think men in churches and pastors are bad about that. To have an axe to grind with somebody in their church and go home and poison their wife with some of that same spirit. Or poison their kids, and then by the time the kids are 19, they don't even want to go to church. Because all they hear is all that whining and running the church members down. You know why we do that? It makes us feel better about ourselves. The old preacher used to say, Blowing the other fella's candle out ain't going to make yours burn any brighter.
But we're so weak that we need our wives to put crutches under us and to prop us up and make us feel important. We ought to just know what God wants us to do and do it and feel good at the end of the day that I've done what God wanted me to do. I can tell you one thing I learned a long time ago as a young preacher at 19 years of age, that if I just obey God and preach what He tells me to do, I can go to bed that night and sleep real well. But if I try to please the people and I don't please God, I can't sleep at night. But we let way too many things sway us and get us discouraged, and Jesus would not be discouraged. And so Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, I want you to take what I've taught you and I want you to pour it into others who will pour it into others. Timothy, listen to me. I want you to take what I've poured in you and I want you to pour it into others who will pour it into others. And Timothy, in order to do that, you're going to have to be strong. Missionary, you're going to have to be strong. I'm not talking about physical strength. I've known some missionaries that were weak physically that stayed on the field for 30 and 40 years and made a mark for God. That's what it's going to take. And he said, Timothy, if you're going to do that, I'm just going to tell you some things I've learned. You're going to have to put away childish things. Oh, that God's men would put away the childish things. Timothy, you're going to have to keep your body under subjection. You don't want to be a castaway, Timothy. How are you going to do that, Timothy? You're going to have to be strong if you're going to keep your body under subjection. Timothy, you're going to have to be considered an enemy sometimes to people you love. They're going to think you hate them. You'll have to be the bad guy sometimes with your kids, and they'll think you're just a mean daddy, but you've got to be strong in spirit. You don't have to be mean-spirited, and you don't have to yell and scream at your kids, but you've got to be firm. And when you say no, it's got to mean no. When your wife's embarrassing you and hurting her testimony, and she don't understand why you think she shouldn't act that way, talk that way, or dress that way, Timothy, you're going to have to be strong. God told Jeremiah, I said, run to and fro and see if you can find a man. And he found none. Joab said to his army, be of good courage and let us play the men for our people. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Quickly, let me ask you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. First Kings chapter 2, David's getting ready to leave this world, and Solomon's going to be the king. First Kings chapter 2. The Bible says, now the days, verse 1, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore. Watch it and show thyself a man. You know what he does in the rest of the chapter? He tells him what he's going to have to do if he's going to be a king. But right here he says, you're going to have to be strong. You're going to have to be strong. He's not talking about physical strength. Now, David had earned the right to say that, by the way. David had earned the right. You see, David would have been just as good a man had Goliath killed him. David was strong in spirit. Oh, just in a hand-to-hand fight, Goliath would have beat the tar out of him. But David was strong in spirit. David could play a harp and kill a giant. Amen. And wasn't embarrassed to play the harp. Amen. Because it's not what men think about you, it's what does God think about you. God wants you to be strong in spirit. David fought when others were unwilling. He took a stand when his brothers wouldn't. He faced an adversary, looked him in the eye, and spoke clearly. You ought to teach your young boys, by the way, when they come to church, to shake hands with men in the church and look them in the eye and have a conversation with them. Man alive, you got a 10-year-old and he walks, how you doing, buddy? Man, grow up. Let you boys be young men, not young girls. I'm telling you, we're raising up. Let me just put it to you in Alabama terms. We're raising up a bunch of sissies. Amen. And that's what a lot of this technology's doing. That's a lot of what television does. It's what YouTube's doing. Just a bunch of guys sitting around, and all they know how to do is use their fingers to find what they want. Wouldn't have to, if they had to work for it, they'd never get it.
That's why there's so many 25-year-olds in America living in mom and daddy's basement while mom and daddy takes care of them. And if you're bothered by what I'm saying, hallelujah. I'm telling you, we're going to have to be... I'm not talking about mean spirit. You might think I'm mean spirit. No, I'm talking about strong in spirit and taking a stand for right and for God. And so David here in 1 Kings chapter 2, I'll just show you this real quickly and get to the rest of the message and we'll go home. But the Bible says he's telling him to be strong and show himself a man. Verse 3, look at it. And keep the charge of the Lord to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgment and his testimonies. Solomon, I want you to be strong. What's that mean? Honor God. Just honor God. Have a good prayer life. Walk with God. Obey his commandments. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. And behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, Benjamin. Y'all remember Shimei? Ran around cursing David and everybody wanted to kill him. He said, I'll leave him alone. But look what happens when he's about to die. He says, you know about that Shimei, Benjamin of Jerusalem, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with a sword. Now, therefore, hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. Isn't that interesting? You know what I think being a man is? Sometimes being a man is taking care of unfinished business and doing the difficult task. And listen, he says, thou knowest what thou oughtest to do. Think for yourself and do what you know is right. You know how much time we waste as preachers trying to get people that know what to do it? If you know what's right, do it. Y'all understand this? It would make such a difference in our lives if we would just call all of the junk and all of this junk that we're involved in and all the stuff that doesn't matter and just get busy doing what we know is right. I'll close with Numbers. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Strong in spirit. By the way, fellas, when God was looking for somebody to replace Saul, you know who he sent Samuel to? You say David. No, Jesse. He said, I want you to go down to Jesse's house because right down there you can find a man. Sometimes we forget, moms and dads, that we may not be missionaries, preachers, evangelists. We may not be spiritual giants. But we can raise up some men to be used of God. One of the greatest things you can do for missions is raise up some children that love God. And teach them that the greatest joy in life is obeying the will of God for their life. If God's looking for somebody, can he find them at your house? The Bible says over here in Numbers chapter 14, we're talking about being strong in spirit, verse 20. Numbers chapter 14, verse 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the Lamb which I swear to their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit. Well, he was different, wasn't he? He had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto we went. He went and his seed shall possess. He said, all them other guys except for Joshua and Caleb, they were weak. They got scared. They got their eyes off me and eyes on the enemy. But not Caleb. He had another spirit. In all of my studies, I'm a history major, and all of my reading about the Revolutionary War, when we went up against the great Britain, that great British Empire, the one thing that reverberates through every book I ever read was the spirit of those men. So much that it is still called, even 200 and something years later, the spirit of 76. It was special. It was powerful. George Washington once said, perseverance and spirit have done wonders in all ages. Colonel Henry Knox said, we want great men who, when fortune frowns, will not be discouraged. When you talk about the spirit of 76, you're talking about a fighting spirit, a daring spirit, a relentless spirit, a resolved spirit, a determined spirit, a selfless spirit. I think it's the spirit of the Apostle Paul. I think it's the spirit of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's the spirit of some of those heroes in the Bible who just said, we're going to do what God says. And when men threatened them, they said, we ought to obey God and not men. God, give us some of that kind of spirit, like Washington at Valley Forge, like Patrick Henry who said, give me liberty or give me death, or like the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere, or those men who were told at Bunker Hill, don't fire until you see the white of their eyes. Boy, they had some kind of spirit. I'm afraid America's lost that. But if there's anybody that ought to still have it, it's God's people. Because we've got something none of them have. My servant Caleb. Look at chapter 13. What's the spirit of our day? Now, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I read it in Revelation where it says it'd be, what is it? Laodicean? Lukewarm? Isn't that it? What is that? Apathy? Lethargy? Passivity? I don't know what you want to call it. Slothful? Just a lazy spirit? Well, you know. Yeah, I'm going to do that one of these days. I've told people that I'd put on their church. Getting around to it, Baptist church. Yeah. Thinking about it, Baptist church. It was an indifferent spirit. It's something that's, I don't understand what, honestly, when I was a kid and I wanted to get a Sandlot baseball game going on, and I'd go around trying to get some of my buddies to go, and if they wouldn't go, it just made me mad. I coached for 14 years, Little League and Babe Ruth, and when I was coaching, if a kid didn't run off the field, he didn't run back on it. I got with the parents and I said, if they show up late, they won't get to play. And I said, when they were on the field, I want them to run on the field. And I said, when they play, I want to put you on a uniform. I want their shirt tucked in. I want their stirrup socks right. I want their shoes right. I want them to look like somebody. And when I look over the bench, I want them all on the edge of their seat cheering on their buddies and cheering on the guys at the plate. I can't stand laziness. I can't stand lethargy. I can't stand slothfulness. I can't stand passivity. It is killing our country and it's killing our churches. And men, it is time to rise up. Rise up, O men of God. It's a great song. You ought to read it sometime. It's in the Bible, by the way. That's what Nehemiah said. We will arise and build. Got to rise up. We need some Calebs in our churches today. Look what the Bible says. When all those guys said, we can't take them, they're too big. We're just a bunch of grasshoppers. But the Bible says in verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Let me tell you quickly about Caleb's spirit. Number one, it is a calming spirit. I love that. They're all tore up, all antsy and anxious. You know, we're going to be a bunch of little grasshoppers and they're so big. Caleb stilled the people. That's what we need during election years in Baptist churches. Somebody can get everybody just shut up. It's going to be okay. My joy does not depend on who's in the White House. And as much as I'm glad things went the way they did in this last election, let me tell you something. American politicians are not they're not the salt and the light of the earth. It's you and me. If your hope for America rests in politicians, you can forget it. Well, the reason America's still on the map is probably because of some of these missionaries and some little old ladies and some Baptist churches and Methodist churches and Church of God and some of these churches you probably wouldn't even go into that still love God and get on their knees and weep and cry every day and talk to the God of heaven and walk with Jesus Christ. That's probably the only reason. And our stand for Israel, that's probably the only reason we're still around. It's not because we've got some conservatives in the White House. Most of these people that talk about being Christians are Roman Catholics. We need some Calebs. The Bible said he had a calming spirit. We get caught up in politics and fretting over the economy and the price of gasoline. And everybody comes into the church during COVID and during all this bad stuff, and they're talking about everything the world's talking about. Don't we need somebody just to have a calming spirit? Somebody can just steal the people. Y'all ever have any problems at Bear Trail? Oh, my. It's in every church. I want to give y'all some help. Does anybody ever get mad at your pastor? I can't imagine anybody getting mad at Brother Crotch. I mean, it'd be really hard for me, brother, to get mad at you. I just appreciate you so much. But I just imagine every now and then somebody's got an axe to grind. And he should have done this, and he should have done that, and he didn't visit my aunt when her toenail was hurting. And then every now and then somebody walk out of the church and they walk up to you and say, "Did you notice something today? Did you notice when he said that he was looking right at me?" Now, man, I want to tell you how to deal with that. You look them in the eye and say, "Well, yeah, I did notice that. And did you notice when he said that everybody else was looking at you too?" You know, one of the biggest reasons people can run their mouth in churches because there's so many good ears. And you ought to put a stop to that, man. Even if it's your wife. Especially around the table around your kids. Why poison them? What we need in our churches are some men with a calming spirit. The Bible says, and Caleb stilled the people. And then he had a climbing spirit. He says in verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up." I preached last night about getting in that inner circle. One of my favorite songs and all that. Probably got it in your hymn book, I suppose. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. That ought to be your heart's desire tonight. Let's go up, not down. Let's not stay here. Let's not say, "Well, we're holding our own." Quit holding your own. "Well, we're just maintaining status quo." Quit that. Amen. Let's do better. Let's climb higher. He had a climbing spirit. He had a combative spirit. He said, "Let us go up at once. Not tomorrow, not next week. Now." You know what? If God dealt with you last night, you should have dealt with God last night. You know what we've mastered the art of doing? Recognizing the truth and doing nothing about it. You know the best time to deal with God? When God deals with you. Go home, make some decisions. Write it in ink. Put it on paper. Stick it on the wall. Put it on your refrigerator. "Today I promised God." And get serious about some of this stuff. Strong in spirit. I mean business. I'm strong in spirit. He had a calming spirit. He had a climbing spirit. He had a combative spirit. He was proactive. George Patton said, "If everybody's thinking alike, somebody's not thinking." One of my favorite quotes from Patton is, he said, "The more you sweat in peace, the less you'll bleed more." He said, "The object of war is not to die for your country, but make the enemy die for his." Patton said, "A good plan violently executed today is better than the perfect plan executed next week." And Caleb had. Look at it. The end of the verse. "For we are well able to" what? He had a conquering spirit. He says in chapter 13, verse 30, "We are well able to overcome it." He had a calming spirit. He had a climbing spirit. He had a combative spirit. And he had a conquering spirit. You ever get tired of being defeated by anything? Let's be honest. Diet? Food? Soft drinks? Facebook Marketplace. Pornography. Alcohol. Sitcoms. I don't know what your vice is. Everybody's got one. You ever get tired of it? You ever get tired of realizing that for 10 years you've been asking God to give you victory and you still haven't got it? There's something hanging over your head, something you've been battling for years and you're still battling it? You know, when I read over there in the book of Joshua, when he told Joshua over and over again, he said, "Be of good courage, be of good courage, be of good courage, be of good courage, be of good courage." And then after Ai, they remember Ai whipped them? And the Bible says that Joshua was basically down on his face crying and praying. And God came down there and said, "Get up. Get up!" That's what he told him. "Quit your praying. Get up. Did I not say to you, be of good courage? Now you get up and you go.
and you do what I tell you to do. It wasn't the time to be whining and pouting. God did not want them to remain defeated. He wanted them to enjoy the victory. It is, listen, church, please hear me tonight. It is not the will of God. People say, I want to know the will of God for my life. I'm going to tell you right now, it is not the will of God for you to live in defeat. It is not the will of God for you to be overcome by sin or sorrow or self or stuff. It is not the will of God for you to be overcome by depression or bitterness or anger. It is not the will of God for you to be overcome by bad habits or spending or eating. It is not the will of God for you to be overcome by videos or movies or the internet. God's will for you is for you to be victorious, not a victim. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You say, I just can't get there. Listen to me tonight. Losing does not have to be lasting, and failure does not have to be final. Make up your mind tonight. You will not accept defeat. And ask God to help you to be strong in spirit. And grab a hold of the things that help you to be strong in spirit. Hang around people that build you up. And get rid of all the things that lure your spirit astray and defeat you and make you feel down and oppressed and saddened and weak. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. God help us to be strong in spirit. Let me ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes, ask someone to come to the piano. It's going to take a serious effort to get this thing straightened out. We're so easily discouraged and so easily defeated. God, I pray tonight that You'll help us. Lord, it's easy for me to preach this. It's a different thing to practice it. Lord, it's sad that we allow the weather report to get us down. God, we allow anything just to get us discouraged. We're children of the King. We are on our way to heaven. We get to serve in Your army. We get to serve in the ministry. We get to tell people about Jesus. We get to go to church and go with the best people on the planet. And we get to hang around the best people in the world. We have a Bible that we know is the Word of God. We've got the Holy Spirit within us. And yet somehow, our spirit is weak. Help us, God. Bless Your people tonight. Lord, this church has been through a lot of things over the last few years. Help them to get their eyes fixed on You. I pray You'll bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As she plays tonight, you obey the Lord. He talked to you, you talk to Him. He tugged at your heart, you come and tell Him that you want help.